That's some good singing. We had a great meal this evening, and I appreciate all who worked to make that possible. My wife does a lot of cooking, preparing for church get-togethers. I know all the work she does. So I appreciate all who worked to make that possible tonight. It was delicious. Our having this gospel meeting is for the purpose of accomplishing good. To honor God and glorify Jesus Christ. To do all the good that we can and no harm whatsoever. If tonight you have questions about what we do or what we don't do or what we teach or what we don't teach, we'll be glad to study with you and to show you from the Word of God the answers that you seek. 2 + 2 = 4. I learned that when I was a little fellow. That is a truth that we all know. It is truth that is objective. It is truth that is absolute. It is not dependent upon our knowing it for it to be true. It is not affected by situation, circumstance, time, or place. Whether we are emotionally for that being the truth or against it, it does not make any difference. It is truth. It is truth for everybody, everywhere. There are those who say that we cannot know truth today. Now, that statement in itself is self-contradictory. One is declaring, I know the truth, that we cannot know truth. Did you want me to start this recorder? Oh, it's going. Okay. That statement is self-contradictory. Another says that there is no such thing as absolute truth. And so he is again contradicting himself by stating, I know the absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth. But the more dangerous statement is this, and that is that truth is only relative, situational, and subjective. That is the propagation of humanism, and it has been promoted, sadly, in our public school systems. That truth is only relative, situational, and subjective. And now we are reaping the harvest of allowing people to teach our children that error, that now they look upon the Word of God, and with that idea in their mind, they conclude this is not really the truth. It might be truth for one, but it is not truth for another. It might be truth in one place, but it's not truth in all places. And so they look to this and say it's just a product of men, fallible, full of myths and folklore, not the absolute inspired truth. If there is no truth, there's no standard for living. One way would be just as good as another way. We could not condemn wrong and say that is the wrong way to live. We could not condone right and say this is the right way to live. It would be as in the days of Judges 17:6, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So men could do today and with impunity, and that really, friends, is the purpose of those who declare there is no truth. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do without being condemned by a standard that says this action is wrong. If there is no truth, there's no standard for living. If there is no truth, there's no certainty. There's no surety. For example, there would be no certainty that there is a way that one could follow and get to heaven. Yet John 14:6 shows where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If there is no truth, there is no way that we could know that we know, as we studied from 1 John 2, 2-4. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If truth did not exist, we couldn't say that. If there is no truth, there is no certainty of hope. Titus 1, 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Notice, God cannot lie. And He made a promise to us. And that promise is we can have eternal life. We live in hope of that. But if there is no truth, there's no certainty of hope. Now, truth is either existing or it is not. It is either absolute or it is not. It is either knowable or it is not. And we affirm, just as surely as 2 plus 2 equals 4, that absolute knowable truth exists. Objective truth. We can know it today. What is truth? Pilate asked that question, John 18:38. It is a good question. It is a question all of us really should ask. What is truth? It is not wrong for us to ask that question. We ought to ask it. It is a question that wise men ask. Men who are scholarly and educated ask what is truth. It is a question that simple people like we are ask. It's a question even that fools ask. It is a question that the atheist, the agnostic, the skeptic, the infidel ask mockingly with a sneer upon their lips. What is truth? As they laugh at our ignorance to think there is such a thing. But it is a good question. It is a question that sincere seekers ask. And I trust that all of us here tonight are sincere seekers of truth. John 18:37, the verse previous to Pilate's question, records where Jesus said that He came, notice this, to bear witness of the truth. Is Jesus a reliable witness? Oh, absolutely. If ever there were one, He is. Jesus then came to bear witness to the truth. And look at John 8:32. Notice what He said. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In reading that context, the word free indicates free from the burden, from the guilt, from the bondage of sin. And so Jesus, that reliable witness of truth, stated that there is something that exists, something that obviously is real, that He called truth. And that something that He called truth, He said, we can know it. And knowing that truth, we can have the benefits of that knowledge indicating hearing and obeying. We can have the benefits of that knowledge in that we can be free from sin. Paul, 1 Timothy 2:4, wrote to Timothy about God and said of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Again, Paul, the inspired apostle, not writing from his own wisdom, but the words given to him by the Holy Spirit, penned that there is something that is real, that exists, that he identified as truth, and that God wants us to know that truth, and that knowing that truth, we can be saved. What is truth? John 17:17 records Jesus' words when He said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. It is objective. It is absolute. It is real. It is knowable. Thy word is truth. And of course it is, because we look to the source of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4, God is a God of truth. John 14:6, Jesus, the Son of God, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 16:13, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us, notice this, with the Word of truth. And so this Word of God that is the truth came from God. God the Father, a God of truth. God the Son, the truth. God the Spirit of truth. His Word, the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, or the American Standard has handling aright, the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying what? The truth. God's word is truth. And this word, this truth came from God. It did not come from man. It's not the product of a preacher. It's not something composed by the church. Sometimes people have the idea that the church gave us the truth. Oh, no. The truth gave us the church. And so this is God's Word. Can we know it? Can we know the truth? Is it something that we seek? But as some have said, we can never claim to have unique possession of it. Is it something that is illusory and always just outside our reach? If we can know the truth, and we can, what does that mean to us? It means that we can know that God exists. I preached not too long ago. There were two Russian exchange students in the audience. Both of them atheists. We talked about truth, about God's existence. If we can know the truth, we can know that God exists. Now, we can know something either by experience or by evidence. By experience, I mean by hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling. We know by experience. We cannot know God by experience. And so we know God by evidence. Psalm 19, the first six verses tell us that God's creation declare God is. The heavens declare the glory of God. In verses 7 through 14, God has given us a picture of Himself. He has manifested Himself through His Word, His revelation. And so through His work and through His Word, God has revealed Himself to us. We can look at God's creation and know there had to be a Creator. We don't know anything about that Creator by looking at the sun, the moon, the stars. We don't know if He's one or many, good or bad. If He loves us or doesn't. We don't know His name. And so God has, through His revealed Word, told us about Himself. And thus we can know 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 from that inspired Word. God is. God exists. We are made in the likeness of the image of God. He is our Creator and Sustainer. He put into motion this world and the things in it. When my grandson, who is a little red-headed fella, the one who was talking about the rusty man last night I mentioned, when he leaves my house, they usually come over three or four times a week, and he wants me to carry him out to their car. And so I do. And we always look for the moon. See where the moon is, how it looks. And I tell him, that is the same moon that Adam and Eve saw. That's the same moon that Noah saw. That is the same moon that Jesus saw when he was upon the earth. Same moon we're looking at tonight. And God put that moon just where it is for a purpose, and it serves that purpose just like he wants it to serve. And it's providing the light for us tonight as I carry him out to the car. Because there is truth that exists that we can know that God exists. We can know more than that. We can know, as Peter confessed, Matthew 16:16, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We can know, as that voice from heaven declared, Matthew 17:5, that He is the one that we are to hear. We can know from Colossians 1:18 that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom we are to hear, is the one who is the head of the church. And that church is His body, Ephesians 4:4, and that there is but one body. And that He, the Savior, Ephesians 5:23-25, adds every single person saved to His body, which is His church, the church of Christ, because it belongs to Him. Because He paid the price for it, because He built it, Romans 16:16. We can know then how to be saved. And there doesn't have to be any doubt, any question. Sometimes I talk with people and they're so confused. I talked with a lady not too long ago and she said, the preacher on the radio says one thing. The preacher on the television says something else. Preacher where I attend says something else, and now you come and you've said something different from all of them. I understand that. I've been there. It's like when I was in Jackson, Kentucky years ago. A lady visited the services that morning. I talked to her and found out she was not a member of the body of Christ. Asked if I could study with her. We studied on Monday, and we studied for a little while. She said, preacher, now what do you think about? And I said, oh, it doesn't matter what I think. I need to think right, of course, but we're not here to study what I think. We're here to study what God's Word says. Went on for a few minutes, and she said, preacher, now what do you believe about? And I said, well, I need to believe what's true, of course, but not here to study what I believe. We're here to see what does God say in this book. Went on a little bit more. She said, preacher, what is your opinion about? And I said, well, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. You don't need to worry about what I think, what I believe, what my opinion is. What you need to do is hear the truth from God and do what this truth tells you to do. We can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Does truth exist? Absolutely it does, just as surely as God exists. And the consequence, the result, the meaning for us is we can know. And we can know that we know. And we can know that we know that we know. And we can know that there is a divine standard by which we shall be measured one day. John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. We can know just as surely as God is and that Jesus is the Christ and his word is that standard that we're going to be judged by it. Not by the books, the creeds, the catechisms, the isms, the doctrines, the ideas, the opinions of men. Not by what mama and daddy thought or what grandma did. Not by what the majority in town believe or what the biggest church teaches. We're going to be judged by what Jesus has said in his book. We can know the truth. You see, when we know the truth, as John 8 teaches we are to know, when we know the truth, we hear it, we obey it. That puts everything in proper place. Because it puts God first. Matthew 6:33. This truth from God teaches us the way that is right, and it warns us about the way that is not right. It teaches us how to get right, how to be right, how to stay right, how to start right, and how to end right. It shows us everything we need to know about how to live now and eternally. And because of this truth that exists, that is absolute, changeless, that is not dependent upon time, place, or circumstance, that is truth independent of whether I like it or don't like it, whether I read it or don't read it, whether I know it or don't know it, whether I accept it or don't accept it, whether I believe it or don't believe it. This truth brings certainty. But here's the problem. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Friends, we can know the truth. We can believe it. We can obey it. We can be saved by it and because of it and by living in accordance with it. But here's the problem. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Talks about those who would perish. Now, why would they perish? Because, notice this, because they receive not the love of the truth. Sometimes people tell me, well, preacher, I'm a pretty good fellow. I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't run around, don't cheat, don't lie, and they tell me all these things they don't do. But they also don't do any good things. Here are some who receive not the love of the truth. Notice what's going to happen. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Have you ever wondered about that? What does that mean? Those who receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, God allows them to believe that lie that they want to believe. I've talked with people who were so convinced in believing a lie that was so unbelievable. I thought, how can you believe that? God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Oh, friends, we'd better receive the love of the truth. We'd better not waste a moment wavering or rejecting that which is true. God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Notice this, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Notice, you can't be saved if you don't receive the love of the truth. You can't be saved if you don't believe the truth. Condemnation is your lot. That is your fate if you continue in this way. But here is the problem. If I were you, I would underline this in my Bible. I would highlight it. Draw an arrow to it. Put an asterisk beside it. I'd write IMP, period. This is important. Here's the problem. Why is it that they did not receive the love of the truth? Why is it they did not believe the truth, that they might be saved and avoid that condemnation? Here is why. Because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why we've got PhDs standing up on college campuses and declaring there is no absolute truth. That's why we've got perverted, immoral, ungodly, wicked, perverse people joining on with them and saying there is no absolute truth. Because they have pleasure in unrighteousness and they do not want to be condemned. That's exactly why. I appreciate good prayer. There are some in our country who, if they had their way, would silence gospel preachers today so that they could not preach about morals. They couldn't mention homosexuality or abortion or adultery and such like. And why is it? It's because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They rejoice in that wicked living. Immorality is what they seek. They want to be able to practice it with impunity. They don't want anybody to stand up and say, the Bible condemns what you're doing. But here's what happens. If they don't believe, receive, obey the truth, they'll not be saved. They will be damned. And God will allow them to believe that lie. Say, oh, preacher, I don't want to be like that. I surely don't want to join in with that group. You may be there right now. If you are not actively serving God, if you are not faithfully following His way, if you have not received the love of the truth, you can't stand before God and say, you know, I wasn't a liar and a cheat and an adulterer. I didn't drink and cuss and kick. No, that won't work. You've got to love the truth and follow it. And when you do that, you can be free. You can be saved. You can rejoice not in unrighteousness, but in righteousness. Psalm 119:172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And thus John the Apostle of Love wrote, 1 John 3, that they who do righteousness are righteous. They do his commandments. That's right doing. And right doing is righteousness. And so when you love what is right, and you do what is right, you know the blessings that Jesus promised by knowing the truth. You can be free. Don't you want to be free tonight, friend? It may be that you came here with the hope of perhaps starting anew. You can do that tonight. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can do that tonight. We'll be glad to help you. Everything is ready if you are. It will take but a few moments. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that's the truth, John 8:24. And follow that truth he proclaimed by repenting of all past sins, Luke 13:3, and confessing your faith in him, Romans 10:9-10, then you can be baptized to have your sins washed away. Somebody says, I don't believe baptism washes away sin. Well, you don't believe the truth. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. What is it that washes away the sin? Revelation 1:5, it's the blood of Christ. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. You can do that tonight. You can be free by hearing and heeding the truth. You can leave here a new person, a new creature in Christ. It may be that you embraced the truth in the past, but your love has grown cold. And now you're just getting by. You come to services, but that's all you do. Warm a place, here for a while, back out to the world you go. Can't go to heaven that way, friend. God said he would rather you be cold or hot than lukewarm. But you can start again tonight. Come back to your first love. Begin anew to live according to truth. And not only that, but through your influence and example, help others to come to know the truth that they too might be free. Truth exists. We can know it. It is absolute. It is unchangeable. It's going to be there at the judgment day. Will you be ready on that day? Come right now if you need to while we stand and sing.